Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is columnist and Albany Bureau Chief for the New York Daily News, Ken Lovett. Ken Lovett is, just as far as I'm concerned, the best of the best correspondents in Albany. Welcome back, Ken.
Good to be here.
Okay, Ken, you got a big story this week. Maybe you could tell us a little about it.
Well, there's a new unit that the governor created over at the Board of Elections. It's supposed to be independent. It's supposed to investigate campaign finance and other election law violations. Turns out that the person who's heading it, who we already knew used to work for Cuomo, has been including Rich Azzapardi, one of Cuomo's aides, press officers, in an email to talking about a possible investigation into a Republican statewide candidate, John Kay, who is running for attorney general.
So let's see if we get this straight, just in terms of background. What we know is that the Board of Elections has long been derided as a sort of do-nothing, not effective
patronage mill
appointed by the guys they're supposed to be either covering or watching or whatever else. So as part of the great reform, and this is the kind of thing where they say the words, but it doesn't mean anything. Now, who exactly is this Ms. Sugarman?
She used to work for Cuomo, both in the governor's office and the administration, I should say, and the AG's office, attorney general's office. She worked as an investigator and a deputy superintendent for the taxation department. She worked over at Criminal Justice Services as a deputy superintendent as investigation. And she was an assistant AG for the governor over at the AG's office.
When he
was attorney general. Yeah. She's also a long time. She worked at the Bronx DA's office for 2 decades. So she does have an investigations background.
Okay. Now, she's a tough guy. At least that's what we're beginning to see as she defends this. Because what she did, if your story is correct, and I know it always is to let the Cuomo people know what she, as an independent investigator, was doing. This is shades of the Moreland Act Commission, another major story you also broke.
Well, certainly that's the appearance to some people, and people have said that. Is this another Moreland? The governor promised that this would be independent. Sugarman told me it's nothing like that. There's been no interference or coordination. She says that she doesn't have a press officer yet, even though the Board of Elections has 2 press officers. She's refusing to use them. She wants to be completely walled off from the rest of the Board of Elections.
So instead, she uses the guy she's supposed to be watching.
And what sources told me was during an executive session meeting last week with the board itself, they asked her, who's this Rich Azzapardi? She said, well, he works for the chamber. He's my acting, public information officer. And they said, do you think it's wise or it looks good to have someone from the governor's office, who you're using, especially after Moreland? And her response was basically, look, I'm not going to do this Democrat-Republican thing. I'm going to use whoever I want to use.
I'm going to use whoever I want to use. Now, some people call this arrogance.
Some people I spoke to certainly did. One person said to me that they believe that it was really bad judgment on her part in trying to separate herself from the Board of Elections. She then decides to use someone from the governor's office. Now, again, she never denied that these conversations took place. She said, I'm not going to discuss what went on in executive session. She never denied on the record that she used Rich Azzapardi as a press person.
Okay, so just so we get it all straight, Rich Azzapardi, a good man, works for the governor. He's just one of his press guys, and he comes out and now becomes the press person for the independent elections person who is supposed to be watching all the candidates, including Cuomo. That's weird, isn't it?
Now, if you ask them, maybe not on the record, what they were trying to tell me is, oh, that's not true, though. It's not true. What they have said is, and what she had said was, look, he received an inquiry from someone in the press about this John Cahill. What was going on with John Cahill was...
Remember that John Cahill is running for Attorney General against Eric Schneider.
And he's a Republican.
And he's a Republican. And there's a law in New York State, right, that says that the legislature passed in a sort of self-serving way that if you want to give any part of a poll that you know about or that you've taken, then you have to give the whole poll.
Right. And what Cahill did is he took an internal poll. And he sent to his donors an email saying, look, we're gaining traction. And he sent partial findings. So, frankly, I started asking questions saying, well, can I have the rest of the poll? Because under law, and originally they said, no, we don't have to. Ultimately, I spoke to the Board of Elections. I said, well, they have to file with us. And they filed just the questions that they publicized to their donors and not the whole poll. So that's when Sugarman got involved and basically told them, you're going to have to release the whole poll. Fine. I mean, that's what the Board of Elections should be doing, I guess. But she claims that as a party got a call from a reporter about the situation, said, what do I do with this? She said, refer it to me. So then when she decided to look into this whole matter, she claims that she sent this email to four people in the Board of Elections, the two co-executive directors, two of their press people, who she's not using, and as a party, saying, this issue is going to land in our purview, you know, this investigative unit, we're going to take it. And if you get any referral, if you get any kind of inquiries, refer them to me. She says that's all it was. And that was fine until people told me that she's been saying since day one, which is only last month, that I'm not using the Board of Elections press people, and she kept bringing up Rich as a party, and then she was asked about it last week in executive session, and she said that he's my PIO, my acting PIO.
PIO being Public Information Officer. Yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't quite jibe with what she told me.
But again, we saw that Cuomo said that he was going to make the Moreland Act Commission independent, and that they could go wherever they wanted. They could come after him. They could investigate him. They could investigate anybody. When they started to make some hay, Cuomo disbanded the Moreland Act Commission. Now we see sort of the same approach here, which is that even though this is supposed to be an independent commission, that it really isn't. She's keeping the Cuomo people informed as to what she's doing. There's no other way to look at that, is there?
Well, I mean, they would say it's an isolated incident. There's a difference between the last time around with Moreland, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah, sure.
During Moreland, they'll say, you know, it involved top aides to the governor. Rich as a party isn't going to tell anyone what to do. But, you know, realistically, if Rich as a party can alert his bosses, hey, they're looking into Cahill. Hey, they're doing this. And then whatever happens from there happens.
As usual, Ken Lovett, it's a great story. And we thank you for doing it. Now let's talk about the election itself. I'm fascinated by what's happening here. First, we saw polls that showed Andrew Cuomo way, way out ahead. Then we saw Zephyr Teachout running against Cuomo in a primary and incredibly getting 35% of the vote, mostly from center-left, you know, voters, and winning several counties, especially in upstate New York. Extraordinary. Now, along comes, there's still another third-party candidate there. We've had him on the air, Howie Hawkins, the Green Party candidate. You would expect that he wouldn't poll that well, but all of a sudden, his numbers are taking off a bit.
Yeah, he's the last poll had him at, I think, 7, 8%. Look, realistically, you know, Hawkins doesn't have a prayer, but what he can do is it gives the left, the disaffected left, a place to go and send a protest vote to the governor. And what it can also do, much to the governor's chagrin, the governor wanted to rack up a commanding victory.
Mm.
And if the polls stay true, he's going to beat Rob Astorino, you know, handily. Right now he's up anywhere between 25, 30 points. But, you know, there's a big difference between winning with 62-63% of the vote, and if Hawkins takes away, say, 10%, 8%, you know, all of a sudden the governor's down to the mid to low 50s, and there's a big difference there, even with a big win percentage.
Okay, I suppose you've just raised it, so I want to do a little bit of a left turn here. Is Cuomo running for president?
I don't think so. I mean, I really don't. He's done nothing. I just wrote about this a little while ago.
In Afghanistan.
Right, but he's done nothing else to
Israel.
But he's done nothing. That's all New York. He's done nothing to lay the groundwork in other states. Zero. He hasn't visited. He hasn't done anything grassroots. He hasn't talked to party leaders. His people haven't done any groundwork. You know, I spoke to people both in Iowa and New Hampshire, early voting states for the early presidentials, and they said they haven't heard anything of him. His name is not even mentioned. He's got problems with the unions here in New York. And I spoke to a union leader in Iowa who told me if there's problems with the unions at home, it's an issue here where unions play a big role in Democratic politics. He's just done nothing to lay the groundwork, and you got to make a decision soon. You can't, as people said, you can't jump in. You've got guys like Martin O'Malley, the Maryland governor, who's been to Iowa several times and New Hampshire several times. You know, you have Hillary Clinton, who, you know, is starting to travel around and also has a grassroots network ready to jump in for.
Okay, why don't we stop right there for a second? I got to tell you, Andrew Cuomo once said to me, he can't run for president because she's running. And I think that's probably true. He's a Clinton-esque person. He was in the Clinton administration. He lives near the Clintons in his Westchester house.
And he'd get his clock cleaned.
And he would get his clock cleaned. Okay. And all of the polls show that. But what? Ken Lovett, if she doesn't run.
I still don't think he runs. He's done nothing. You know what I mean? You've got a lot more people who are building up grassroots campaigns in the crucial early states. You've got more people who are doing things to at least lay the groundwork if they decide to run. Other than a couple of trips now to Israel and Afghanistan, which really worked just as well for his, you know, gubernatorial election than it does for anything else, he hasn't done a single thing nationally. Mm-hmm. He has no network, and he's not done anything. He hasn't reached out to anybody.
Well, there are people who will point way back to those years when he wanted to be governor many years ago, and there was another candidate, Carl McCall, who was the presumed candidate who was going to be the first black man to perhaps be governor of New York. With almost no time to go, with none of those preparations you're now talking about, Cuomo jumped right in and said, I'm going to run against McCall at the last minute. What makes you think that the same thing isn't operational here?
Because a governor's race where you're known, you know, your name is known, Cuomo, it's a lot different than a national race. You know, a national race, you can't just jump in. You have to have some kind of groundwork done. You have to have some kind of grassroots, you know, operation ready to go. And so far, he has none of that. Now, you can argue we're 2 years away, but, you know, it's different now. It's not just a year. You know, you would have to know by February next year if you're a candidate or not.
Let's go back to Zephyr Teachout, who ran as a sort of independent-minded, got a lot of votes, 35% of the votes, had no money to really run with, did extremely well. I'm a little interested in her because she sounded reasonable. She was effective, but she didn't have TV ads, and she still got all of those votes. Now, a lot of people are sort of like her, but I haven't heard her say that she would support Howie Hawkins, who sounds more like her than Cuomo does, which is interesting to me because maybe she, it turns out she wants to be a Democratic player and did say something, didn't she, Ken? Like, if he endorses, says no fracking, then I'll endorse the governor.
Yeah, that was one of the conditions. Look, first of all, it's a different party. She says she's a Democrat. You know, Hawkins is running on the Green Party, although their philosophies align in a lot of ways, Teachout and Hawkins. She has told me that she will not decide whether to endorse anybody until about a week before the election. I guess she wants to maximize it. But she has said she hasn't decided. She has admitted it's unlikely she'll endorse the governor. But beyond that, I don't know if she'll then go as far as to endorse Hawkins or not.
Yeah. Third parties in New York State don't do very well. And the Green Party in New York has been doing a little bit better. Howie Hawkins, the gubernatorial candidate, loads trucks in the middle of the night. That's what he does for a living. He's extraordinarily articulate and has had, you know, he's really an interesting guy. Does he have a shot at doing better than any Green Party candidate has ever done?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. I think the atmosphere out there is, you know, there's a lot of unhappiness on the left with the governor. You know, it's funny, the governor has done a lot of things that you would have thought would have made him a slam dunk with the progressives, you know, legalization of gay marriage, the gun control law. You know, I know people didn't think it went far enough, but the legalization of medicinal marijuana. Hmm. But I think what the governor miscalculated was he wanted, and with the eye toward a potential run for president, I think.
Sure.
He wanted a reputation of being a social liberal and a fiscal conservative. Mm-hmm. What he didn't get, and this, you know, sprang out of the Occupy Wall Street movement, is that the Democratic Party, especially the liberal wing, has kind of moved away from the social issues. They feel those are gimmies now. And now it's all about economic justice, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And now it's all about, you know, raising minimum wages, and which they have done, and, you know, trying to get poor people more money and more of a slice of the pie. And I don't think the governor expected that when he first ran 4 years ago. He thought he could straddle that line and still win over the progressives. And I think it's probably why he'll win is that kind of strategy. But I think he really has a major, major problem with the progressive wing of the party that's not going away. That's going to benefit Howie Hawkins. So if Hawkins got 10%, I wouldn't be surprised.
He's polling around there now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about debates. Clearly, you know, debating is a risk for Andrew Cuomo. He's 25, 30 points ahead in the polls. If he debates, that can only help Astorino, right?
Well, it certainly elevates him. It gives him a platform. You know, how many people actually will watch, who knows? But yeah, it certainly gives him something, a platform that's going to be reported on. He'll get more ink because of the debate. So certainly it does. It's only upside for Astorino unless he has a major, you know, snafu.
And as Cuomo learned a lesson, let me put it that way. You know, he's always played it the, quote, politically smart way. Now he goes into this debate. I don't think this is a guy who wanted to debate, but I think he has to, because he doesn't want to appear to be this polished politician that so many people think he is.
Well, it's even more than polished politician. It's a politician that's that has contempt for the public by not debating.
Sure.
You know, there are certain things you expect from a political campaign, and at least one debate is, you know, the bare minimum of what you would expect. Right now, there are no debates. Right now, they have not agreed to any debates. The governor has said he would do two of them, but Astorino hasn't signed on because the first one is in Buffalo, would be televised locally and potentially across the state on public TV. But the governor insisted that they have not only the two major candidates, him and Astorino, but also, you know, the Libertarian and Green Party candidates.
That's right out of his father's old playbook.
And his playbook from 4 years ago.
Yeah.
But then, and this is what is irking Astorino more than even that, is they agreed to a downstate debate that would be just one-on-one, Cuomo-Astorino. This is what the governor's agreed to, but it would only be done on radio, public radio down there, WNYC. And Astorino wants a televised one-on-one debate. And Cuomo so far has refused and said, well, if he doesn't want to debate, he won't debate.
Let's talk a little bit about the redistricting ballot question. That's fascinating. We've talked about it before. Cuomo has agreed with the legislature to come up with a new plan. The League of Women Voters has said yes. Some of the other groups have. But people like Blair Horner and the NYPERG have said absolutely no, this is a phony. I think it's a phony, but it's going to be on the ballot. What do you think is going to happen?
I'm wondering how many people are actually going to vote for it for one way or the other. I don't think people are really looking in, you know, at the redistricting issue generally. But my guess is it'll pass, you know, that some redistricting reform is better than no redistricting reform. But look, the reality is the governor made a promise in 2010 when he was running. I will not sign any redistricting lines that are drawn by the legislature, period. I will not do it.
So he lied.
He evolved. But then he changed his mind, and he did. But to save face, he came up with this plan. Hey, now we're going to have this constitutional amendment.
In 10 years.
And you know, the legislature is still going to appoint this commission. And then if they don't like it, they can override it. But it allowed him at the time to try and save face and say, look, you know, yes, I moved off it, but now we have this. The voters will, you know, decide what to do with it. And this is true reform.
As his father used to say, by that time, a new pope might be born. Okay, so now the state Senate. This is fascinating. I got to tell you, Ken, you're so much brighter than I am, but I can't figure out what the real deal is between de Blasio and Cuomo. De Blasio was beaten senseless by Cuomo on a couple of issues. And then de Blasio, the mayor of New York, comes in and saves Cuomo's behind at the Working Families Convention, gets him that nomination, even though it looked like Teachout was going to get it, you know, at that moment.
And helps him a lot during the Democratic primary against Teachout.
Does. Helps him a lot. Helps him in many other ways. Well, come on. These politicians like to trade favors. What's the trade here?
Well, you know, I mean, for the Working Families Party, we know what the trade was. He had promised you know, that he was going to agree to reopen the issue of the minimum wage, which is something he said he didn't want to do originally. He promised that he would not only raise the state minimum wage, but give cities the power to raise their minimum wage a certain percentage, which would be new and something the governor opposed just a few months ago. He talked about pushing through campaign finance reform, you know, which is a big issue for those on the left, including de Blasio. He talked about taking back the state Senate, which is a huge issue.
Yeah, let's stop right there. Talk about taking back the state Senate.
For the Democrats.
For the Democrats. Can they do it?
Yeah, they can. I don't think it's a slam dunk, but I think they definitely can. You know, right now there's 33 Democrats or 32 Democrats in the chamber. They're just not all sitting together. If they can maintain what they have and or even add some to it, yeah, then they'll have it. Because Jeff Klein and the independent Democrats, you know, five members who broke away and have been ruling with the Republicans, have said they would go back. My guess is if they go back, a Brooklyn Democrat who's been sitting with the Republicans, actually sitting with them, Simcha Felder, my guess is he'd go back too, because he always said he would sit with those who were in power.
Well, good for his district. But, you know, there is a question as to the integrity of the people who sit among the Democrats. There have been a lot of indictments and things like that. Do you think they're equipped to rule yet?
I think it's a different conference than it was. You know, I think Andrea Stewart Cousins is a better leader than you know, John Sanson or Malcolm Smith, and Mike Gianaris, who is the deputy leader from Queens. I think he's a smart, talented guy. I don't think you've seen a lot of the problems that we saw the 2 years the Democrats were in charge. Now, they're not in charge now, so we don't know if that will change. Look, the problem is, and this is always going to be the problem, if they only have a bare minimum, if they only have a majority, but it's the bare minimum, sure, 32, 33, they're not going to be able to count on all their members to do a lot of the stuff. You know, anything that deals with abortion, they've already lost at least two of their members. You know, certainly Ruben Diaz, who's a Pentecostal minister, and he's from the Bronx, and he has voted against that. Campaign finance reform, he's voted against that. So, you know, it's unlikely they'll get a lot of Republican votes, or if any, for that. So it's going to be hard for them if they don't pick up seats, if they don't pick up enough seats where some of their members can vote no. Otherwise,
you not only vote no, but say, I'm going to go over and be a Republican now.
And otherwise,
this happened before.
You end up in a situation where one person can hold the rest of the conference hostage. And that's what we saw in 2009 and 2010.
With disastrous results,
exactly,
for the Democrats. Okay, so very quickly, as we speak, yet another indictment coming down. We only have 2 minutes.
Bill Scarborough was, we knew his office was raided a few months ago. The state attorney general's office and the comptroller's office brought an indictment against him after an investigation that he misused, surprise, surprise, the per diem system.
That's the amount of money every legislator gets to come up to Albany.
And apparently sometimes when they're not in Albany, and that's the no-no that he's nailed.
He says he just didn't understand the rules.
Didn't understand the rules, but didn't violate them either.
Yeah.
But now he's under indictment, and he may be facing, and he is facing a federal indictment as well.
Yeah, the feds could come in and do the same thing, because the feds and Preparar have said, you know, we're not taking any more from the legislature, basically.
Yeah.
Well, the wars in New York go on. Ken Lovett is the supreme and the best of the state legislative correspondents. Congratulations on everything you're doing, Ken, and we'll be talking to you in the future. That's the Capital Connection. Our guest has been Albany Bureau Chief, New York Daily News, Ken Lovett. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.